Well, it's my great pleasure. Isn't it great to have Pastor Richard Bonner in the house? All the way from Sydney, C3 Carlingford. Great friends with Andrea and I, both him and his wife Sue. And Richard is basically been a Christian most of his life. Incredible. Yeah, who could say that about themselves? Who's been a Christian most of their life? Give me a wave. Oh, quite a few. That's awesome. God bless you guys. Yeah. And for those of you who've just made a decision for Christ, you're important too, right? Everyone's important. Just making sure. And Richard is a mining engineer and has an honours from the University of New South Wales. And also used to help with, I read some of your website, used to help with kids at risk in New South Wales for many years, and been at Bible College, a consultant engineer, started full-time ministry in, 1990. Wow! Oh, that's incredible. That's where the, that's just amazing, and was part of the... Bonner, affectionately known. And yeah. So we just want to welcome Pastor Richard Bonner.
That's good. Thank you.
You're allowed to have a little bit of compliments, you know.
I might be, yeah, look, that's good. That's enough compliments of me. You're going to have to cop some compliments from me, maybe. So that's good. And look, actually... Pastor Nigel and Andrea are very good friends for Sue and I, and they have been wonderful, wonderful people over many, 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 many years. And as your pastors, you are seriously blessed to have them looking after you and watching over you and your faith and just the way of life for you. And you really are extraordinarily blessed to have them as your pastors. Let's give them a hand, because that's a whole lot more important. Now, it's really, like, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you very much for your invitation. That last video of Josh and Alex Jagelman, I came from Ian Jagelman and Jeannie Jagelman's church, and I remember Josh from about there. And so that they were your first missions project is amazing. And what they do is remarkable in an area which... is a little difficult to share the gospel, but they're doing a phenomenal job, which is great. I also have to say, you guys come with a reputation. Why is there nervous laughter? That doesn't make sense to me, because your reputation is great. What you guys have been able to do, particularly in missions, has been extraordinarily inspiring to a whole lot of the churches across our movement. The work you've done in Liberia is remarkable. To actually pick that up and make that happen is hard, hard work. Starting anything in a new nation like that is hard, because you've got to plow up the ground, but before you get to plow up the ground, you've got to walk through the field and you've got to throw out all the rocks. And once you've thrown out all the rocks from the field, then you get to put a plow under the ground. And you turn it all over, and then guess what? You wait a little bit longer, and then you turn it over a couple more times before you can actually sow any seed into the thing. And for there to be five churches in Liberia is extraordinary. So during the week, I was with Pastor Pat Antcliffe, who is the C3 overseer for the whole of Africa. And I said, I'm coming over. And he said, you have to give these guys the largest pat on the back you can possibly do. So I don't know how to actually do that, whether I run around and pat everybody in the back, which would be perhaps a little silly. I'm quite happy to be silly. It doesn't bother me being silly. You'll find that out along the way for sure. But seriously, he was just absolutely stunned and amazed at what you've done, and you should be. And you may think to yourself, oh, yeah, but, you know, like, so it's a long way away and all those kinds of things. No, 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 no. Your partnership is... making a massive difference. A massive difference. And as we go and talk into this notion of leap into spring this morning, if there's one thing I want to do is I want to help drive that deeper into your hearts. I want you to have that sense of what we do as a church in partnership with varying churches and organizations. Lynette Tobin is just, she's, wow, what an amazing woman. An amazing woman. I've heard about her for years because I do a reasonable amount of stuff over in India, and her name crops up in a whole bunch of different places. You're going, who is this person and where's she from? And, you know, kind of thing. And, oh, she's from WA, of course. And you know, Fremantle, even better. And you just kind of go, wow. And what you guys have done is remarkable. It's not finished, of course. And you know, it's inspiring. I'm here watching the breadth of what you do, and I tell you what, I'm like, oh, heck, we do some stuff in missions, but I'm looking at this going, wow, how, like, China and Myanmar area and Africa and the Philippines, and you, like, spread, and you, but not spread, you know, where you're, you know, a mile wide and a millimeter deep kind of thing. You're deep into what you're doing. So you've been incredibly strategic, which is a really, really important thing to do in the context of any partnership. And it's a crucial thing to do incredibly well. So it's amazingly impressive. And I actually, you know, I've been preparing for today. I've just had, I'm not sure how to fully describe it, but this sense from the Spirit of God of an incredible depth, but also a powerful breakthrough for you. And I'm really excited about that. Now, I don't know anybody's name except, well, a few people here, Nigel and Andrea and the extraordinary Charlie and Helen, and I've met a few of you this morning who I've promptly forgotten your names already, so that's pastor's curse. And you just understand that. There was a wonderful man standing here on the stage singing earlier. Dom. So there he is. There you go. I just got, as I was just worshiping, I got this sense from the Lord that God is going to stretch you. But you need to go in the stretch. You need to move in that stretch. God's got something for you and it's going to take a stretch. But you've got to go in the stretch. You can't kind of, is this God? No, is it? Just go into the stretch, and you're going to find yourself in a quite new place, which is brilliant. Our you were playing the keys, the small keys. I don't know how to, like, you've got, there's the large keys, the medium keys, and the small keys. Like, we do well to get the keys. You know, I don't know better than that, but so anyway, the small keys. God spoke to me really clearly. He's going to renovate you. I don't know what that means exactly, but you will actually be wearing different clothing as a result. I don't know. I'm not. You've got to understand, I'm an engineer as a background, right? I wear elastic-sided boots. Why? Because it takes too long to tie shoelaces. All right? You don't do that kind of thing as an engineer. You keep things classically simple. It's smart to do that. So but I just get this sense that God is going to renovate you from the inside out. It's not going to be something from the outside in. And you're going to find yourself thinking new thoughts and in new ways that you're going to be surprised by, and you're going to be a thought leader as a result. You're going to speak over people's lives, and you're going to call things out of them that they don't know themselves to have. But as soon as you speak it, they're going to go, that's me. And they will be surprised by that. So God's going to do that. I don't know. I do have to preach this morning as well. So I'll just stop for a moment from there. I have this incredible sense that the Lord is going to bring some breakthrough, but there's a depth that He's going to develop in the context of what you're doing and the work that you're doing. I mean, I look at what you guys have done in establishing the Wellard Church, the campus down there. It is just extraordinary. It takes amazing faith. It takes an incredible level of sacrifice at a whole bunch of different levels by so many people. And it is an inspiring thing to do. And it's something that as across our nation today, it is where we've got to go to. We have got to plant more campuses, more churches, more services to influence our nation at an increasing level and increasing rate. And if we do that, we're going to see the kingdom expand the way that God always intended it to expand. If we hold back and go, oh, it's tough times or difficult this or difficult that and all the rest of it, we're going to miss the opportunity. But what you've done with Wellard is actually step into the purposes of God. And there are times where we feel like we need to be told to go, and actually God's already told us. And we need to step into what God has already said. And that's what you've done. And so that step of faith is one that God just continues to bless and will continue to bless in an amazing way. The partnerships that you've got with the people overseas, the people in Wellard, the work that you do here with your care context and all the rest of it is crucially important in terms of partnership. It's a partnership that doesn't just happen. It takes planning and trust and faith and love and, well, pure grit. That's what any partnership takes. And to plant a campus like Wellard has really stepped you up in that frame. And sometimes, you know, we can do things over the seas because it's a little easier in a sense, because what we get to do is we get to send this kind of stuff over. But when you do some stuff closer, like your care context and Wellard as well, what you do, you got to front up. And the nature of the cost is a different kind of cost. And that's a very powerful cost for you to pay. It's an important cost to pay. And that sense of partnership is something that Paul reminds us of in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. So if you have a Bible with you or a device or something like that, then why don't you just look up Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. It'll come up on the screen as well. Paul simply writes this: every time, I love those kinds of statements, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time, from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God will begin the good work, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I want you to think about that. There are people who are waking up this morning with joy in their heart because of you, individually and corporately. You've seen some of the videos already. You've seen Josh Jagerman go, thank you. You've seen Lynette Tobin go, thank you. You've seen Eric and Christine Harrison go, thank you, right? In each of those situations. And as you've heard that, you need to receive that personally. Paul gets up in the morning and he writes to the Philippians and he says, thank you, and you cause joy to release in my life. You cause joy to release in my life because of your partnership with me. You may never meet these people this side of heaven. You may never meet them this side of heaven. But I can't wait for those days when we're wandering the streets of gold in heaven and all the rest, and somebody comes up to you and never met them, and you're kind of like excited because everybody's friendly up in heaven, so you kind of put your hand out, your big hug or whatever it is kind of thing, and they go, I've been meaning to catch up with you for eternity. Of course, you're still in eternity, so there's a little bit longer to go as well, but, you know, I've been meaning to, you know, oh, why? I've never met you. No, you haven't, but I'm here because of you. What do you mean? I've never met you. I don't know you. I don't even know your name. Let's meet. I'm John. I'm Richard. You know, whatever it might be at that point in time. I'm here because you gave some money back in 2017 to this work on a border between Myanmar and China. And I came to Christ because those two strange people who were there, Alex and Josh Jagerman, they had this coffee plantation and I was one of their workers, and I didn't have a job, and they paid me. They didn't just pay me peanuts or even just coffee beans. They actually paid me properly. And nobody did that in our town. But they did. And so because they were different in the way that they did what they did, I asked questions of them. And their questions led me to a Savior. And it's led me into heaven as a result. Your partnership did that. And you go, gee, what did I give in 2017? I can't remember. Oh, dear. What do you do with her? Do you take her out the back every now and then? They tolerate you. Ah, that's all right. I don't know. Do you think about the people who, as a result of your giving last year, are waking up this morning saying thank you and have joy in their hearts because of you? Or not? Or do you just go, oh, well, I thought about it a little bit, and I think I prayed about it before I gave, and I figured, well, this was what I had, you know, and, you know, it was kind of the right thing to do, so I just threw it in and hoped for the best. Oh, I prayed as well, you know, kind of thing, as I put it in. But I really did it in hope, not belief, in a sense of just, well, this is what I'm meant to do because I'm part of C3 Frio and Wellard, and so this is what we do as a church. So I committed because I'm part of, but I hadn't actually engaged myself and my heart into what I was doing. And guess what? You know what? You need to go into the place of partnership. Because that's what Paul reminds the Philippians of. He goes, you partnered with me. There are people in the Philippines who this morning are saying thank you for you. Who have joy in their heart, not just saying thanks, but have joy in their heart because of you. You're a joy to them. Your prayer, your faith, your sacrifice, your love, your giving, make that happen. Leap into Spring is not a fundraising effort. Let me help you. Like, some people come to these things and go, oh, yeah, they're raising money for missions. It's kind of a fundraiser. No, it's got nothing to do with raising funds. It really isn't. And I wouldn't come. I don't give a rip about that. I seriously don't waste my time raising money. What I want is I want people who will take a step of partnership. Because the partnership goes beyond what we have in our wallets. It engages our heart. You know what Jesus says? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when you end up giving, right, it's a partnership where you engage your heart, and as a result, you begin to pray and you begin to believe and you start to dream, and you might even go on the missions trip that's coming up. Why? Because you didn't give, you didn't tip God with a few dollars. You partnered with him in the gospel. Represents your heart. It's about rescuing people from darkness, lost, lonely, broken people, the down and out and the up and out. There'll be people who are facing difficult, life-threatening situations, who are thinking, how could they keep going? But they've remembered your partnership, and as they've remembered the fact that you've given, that you've made a way for them, there's joy just springing in their heart again, and they've dared to believe again because of you. And sometimes we go, oh, yeah, but I didn't give terribly much. Let me remind you that when you read through 2 Corinthians, that church in Philippi was one of those churches which was not rich. Right? Because sometimes we think that our partnership is about the amount. It's never about the amount. It's about equal sacrifice, not equal giving. It's about our engagement at whatever level it is that we believe God has called us to engage, to actually make the difference that we're prepared to. And as we make that difference, the impact of that difference is shared equally amongst everybody, irrespective of our means. I'll never forget the day when one of the widows in our church came to me, and she'd missed the offering for one of our missions offerings. And she came to me and she said, oh, Pastor, I didn't get to give into the offering. I need to give into the offering. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to take your money. I knew where she was at financially. I knew the distress over years financially that she'd had. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, I can't do this. This is the wrong thing for a pastor to do. Don't ask me to do that. And as those thoughts are coming past me, she grabs my hand and she says, please do not defraud me of the opportunity. Because she could tell that I was struggling. I stood there and I'm thinking to myself, dear God, I just heard you. I just heard you. And she gave an offering which in amount was nothing in one sense. It was very little. But in terms of heart, reduced me to tears, reduced me to my knees, and I was in prayer. And you know, that sense of God having shouted at me. Because it's not about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. And you may think to yourself, I don't have much to give. Guess what? It's not about the amount. It's about that engagement of your heart as you partner. Guess what? You get people like Paul speaking over you. You get people like Paul speaking over you. You see, you encourage them, you bolster them, you strengthen their faith. There's something holy about what we're doing here this morning in the context of this offering, and we need to make sure we recognize the holiness of every offering that we do. And as you do this morning, what occurs when you give your money or you filled in your card and you put it into to the offering bucket thing, laundry chute, what? If you can't see it, let me just... There's no, there's no clothes. When you put, there's something holy that's going on. There's a transaction between you and God. If you read through the Old Testament, you know, understand the notion of sacrifices, of tithes and offerings, all of those kinds of things, that there's a common context that occurs, and that is that God's heaven opens over our lives. And as that heaven opens over our lives, guess what? We get shifted. And the kingdom of God advances not only in us, but through us as a result as well. Partnership, as Paul uses it, has a practical financial implication. In Paul's world, it was the normal word for a business partnership that Paul uses here. It's not just, you know, it is the word koinonia in the Greek, but it's not just fellowship and warm feelings. It's not just sharing a few things. It's that sense of partnership. I will stand with you in the best and the worst of life. I will do life with you. I will partner with you as we walk together. And that's what you get to do with these people who you may never see. Philippians were partners in the gospel, partners in grace. They were in the gospel business, the grace business, along with Paul, and their gift proved their partnership. The gift proved their faith. And Paul prays for the Philippians with joy. Have you ever heard that kind of joy-filled prayer of a new mum? Just praying over their bub and just the sense of joy that results at that point in time. It's just this praise just coming off their lips. There's an abandonment of the sense of joy that God is bringing at that point in time. You know, praying with joy happens because of the sense of overwhelming goodness from God. And that's experienced commonly through people just like you. They are waking up this morning saying, thank you. To you. They're waking up this morning with a sense of joy that breaks through the sense of despondency. Joy is not the result of finding ourselves in comfortable circumstances, but of seeing the gospel make progress through our circumstances and through the circumstances of those we support, whatever those circumstances might be. Paul is joyful when he remembers the Philippians in prayer because God is at work in their midst for the advancement of the gospel. That's why I can join like Paul and say this to you this morning. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. And the truth of it is, knowing that I've been coming for a number of months, I have been praying that way over you. In fact, it was a really interesting flip for me after Nigel rang me up. We worked out how to get here, all of those kinds of things. There was this flip for me in my prayer life for you. The sense of joy actually shifted. That's why I'm coming here and going, God's going to do something. I know God's already doing something in here this morning because it shifted in me. And I'm going, wow, okay, God, you're already working months earlier. Your offering will cause joy in others. And in our joyless world, that makes a huge difference. Your offering will not just cause joy, it will practically support pastors so they can continue to do the work of the gospel without concern about finances. It will practically support church buildings being built. It will practically support people in destitute situations finding Christ and seeing life turn around. I'll never forget the time where I was in India and in the city of Pune, which is a city outside Mumbai in the same state of Mumbai, the state of Maharashtra. And I'd met this particular pastor the year before, and he had come to another city where I was, and we'd had 15 or 20 minutes together. And he said, Pastor, if you come back, would you come and visit me? And I said, oh, I can do that. That's not a problem. So next year I went. And a business guy had come with me to church, to the trip with me, and he said to me, Richard, whatever you want me to do, I'll do over the trip. I said, fabulous. I love that kind of heart. That's a great place to be. So I said to him, I'm going to spend some of your money. You're a business guy. You must have some, so it's okay. And he did, and he was up for that. That was not a problem at all. Anyway, so over the trip, I'm going, I just knew that from God. So we're just talking about doing some ministry, you know, all the rest of preaching in places. And then we see this pastor, Pastor Sudhir. He's a very, very good friend of mine now. And we got chatting, and what I thought was going to be about a half an hour kind of conversation, we were still going at 3.5 hours. And he just poured out his heart, he and his wife. And John was in their living room, and a small unit. And I was in the bedroom with them so that we had some privacy as we're, you know, just chatting about ministry life. And he just said, Pastor, we don't know how to keep going. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I don't know what to say. They had a church of 300 or 400 people, but they were just totally spent. They'd had that for the 10 years of the church up until that point in time, they'd never had 2 days consecutively off for 10 years. Anyway, as we're talking that through, I said, "Well, you need a holiday." Yes, Pastor, because they're always, you know, it's yes, Pastor. And it's like I'm thinking, I need to break through the yes, Pastor, because I want you to have a holiday. What are we going to do to get you a holiday? And, you know, so when can you fit it into your time? Well, you know, and they're hedging their bets. And I said, well, what about this week? It seems like that's when the kids are off school, so you could probably do it. Yes, yes, okay, all the rest of it. Can you do that? Yes, Pastor. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, John's spending money now. And I said, and I'm paying for you to go on your holiday. And they looked at me, because the reason they'd never had a holiday was because they put every cent back into the ministry. Enough to live off, just, and everything straight back into the ministry. And I said, how much do you need for a week's holiday? So they got up to what was the equivalent of about $150 for the four of them for a week's holiday. And I said, that is not enough. And they were like, that's a king's ransom. And so I said, John, I walked outside. I said, John, I just spent $150. He said, I thought you said I was going to be giving some money. And I said, I know. You get that argument with them, because I've argued for 3.5 hours to get to there. Anyway, they walked out and he said, here you are, gave them $500 and said, if you spend any of that on ministry or on the church, I will never give you another cent in my life. And they went, oh. That man has now planted 70 churches in the nation of India. At the 10-year mark, he was about to give up. It took $500 to partner with him. That's all it took. And an ongoing relationship now for the next 13 years. I go there every year. Sue goes there, my wife. We take women's teams in there to run conferences. We just love on them all the time. And I have just been amazed at what God has been able to do through the smallest of partnerships in one sense. And my mate John, who has been backwards and forwards there over the years, has spent a lot more money than $500 on the partnership, because he just could not believe the impact of that gift alone. And he couldn't believe the impact of this man of God who was about to give up, accepting that somebody stepped in by God's grace to help partner with a small amount of money like $500. For some of us, a lot of money, that. And if it is, guess what? It doesn't matter about the money. It's about equal sacrifice, isn't it? Some of you may be thinking, I've done this before. What difference does it make? Paul reminds the Philippians that they had been supporting him financially from the first they heard the gospel until now. Consistent giving. You may have been in Leap into Spring for the last 10 years, every year, just taking it up another little bit, and you come to this morning and you've gone, I'm not sure whether I should, I don't know how. I said, guess what? Go again. Because for Paul, the encouragement of them consistently supporting him has made the difference. Some of you may be thinking, I'm a new Christian. I'm new to this thing. I'm new to this church thing. Paul reminds the Philippians that they had been supporting him financially from the first they heard the gospel. So you may go, I don't even get this giving thing. I mean, Nigel's already taken up an offering. What's the second one for? Well, it's special. It's once a year. And you get to make a pledge or you get to give actually this morning, like I am, because I'm here, because I'm, like God said, you're here and you're giving to me, to my family, because we believe in what you're doing. And if you're new to church, you're new to Christian life, start. Equal sacrifice, not equal giving. You may not have much to give, all the rest of it. You may not know a lot more, but you just start, because you know what? What happens is your heart goes there too. And then you'll begin to pray, and you'll be surprised at when you're on the missions trip. You see, partnership is a really big thing in Paul's vocabulary. And that's what Leap into Spring is all about. Your offering today will partner with people in the gospel, men and women, young and old, discovering Jesus. And the Philippians were partners in the gospel with Paul. Then you get to be partners in the gospel with churches in Liberia and a ministry on the border of Myanmar and China and church in the Philippines and the work in Wellard and the work that you do here around you in the context of your care ministry and all the differing expressions of your partnership are what you get to give to today. So take the time to partner. Put your head into that space. And say, God, how is it that you're calling me to partner today as you leap into spring? Your gift of partnership in the missions will support the gospel increasing. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your grace and your love. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you give us a partnership. And that partnership, Lord God, is a partnership that extends your kingdom and so we can pray with effect and with the knowledge that, Lord God, we can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Lord, we pray that that would be the result of our partnership today. In Jesus' name.